A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Monday afternoon. Well, hopefully you survived the chocolates and roses. The weekend was well. We actually, Friday evening, put some steaks on the grill. Made some pasta for the kids, you know. Kind of like that. Then we went to a friend's basketball game. His son was playing Friday evening. It was entertaining. A little disappointed for the team we were pulling for. They got beat, but, you know, as they say, you can't win them all, can you? So it was a good Valentine's Day, and so we celebrated with just getting to spend some time with each other, saw some old friends, chatted up a little bit. And I tell you, and that's another thing, is you see people you've not, interacted with in a while, and their kids, and just the changes, man, just how they grow, everything develops. You know, usually the sons are taller than their dads. But I can still get you, right? But yeah, it was a good weekend. Got to hang out and just kind of, man, Saturday was one of those rainy, sleepless in Seattle days. I think we had the fire blazing and the couch was calling my name for sure. Reagan said she heard me serenading over there for a little bit. And then, of course, we had church yesterday. Had a good service, good time. Had the Lord's Supper. Got to share in a message, you know, and got to see some friends and some visitors yesterday. I was glad to see them, you know, just being in part of catching up too. You know, it's yeah. Our church is, you'd probably say there's some pruning possibly going on at our church, but, you know, there's changes. And as I've stated in the past, you know, there is no perfect church. Our church is not perfect, but I think the thing that we see in service there, and my family, and serving along Pastor Mitch and Pastor Justin as well, that you know, we love the Lord, we love people, and we would love for them to, for God to work in their heart and transform them in such a way as He sees fit. And I think it's probably true of any pastor of a church that professes Jesus Christ as the Savior, the Son of God, the Messiah, who was crucified for our sins and was buried and died and then resurrected and rose from the dead, defeated death, hell, and the grave. And so therefore now there's life everlasting through Christ. I would say that the gospel, if we're preaching that, then I think we desire that as under shepherds of the church. So we desire for people to grow in their faith, to strengthen in their understanding of what God's word means for their life, and then again how that basically flows through and impacts others that are around them. The ministry that we share in is our daily life, and where God has placed us at, that, you know, doing our best for the glory of God and what He's given us to work in. So we labor together, and it was good to be back in the church and to see how God continues to work even in the midst of a broken people. Amen. And We're grateful for his patience with our life. Yeah. So here we are, and Monday is upon us, and I am sleepy. Man, I had a very delicious lunch. I don't know if any of you like liver and onions. Some people would probably rather abstain from that combination, but it's especially good with gravy. You know, there's something about gravy too. But anyway, so yes, we're going to move on through James. And this passage, James 4, we've mentioned it in the past and kind of spoke to it. So we'll, you know, continue on, and nothing wrong with repetition. Sometimes we would say that some repetition is probably a bad thing, but this instance, it's not. Maybe like a commercial. I pick on Owen Lake because there was a commercial that came on. I think it was Quick Trip Pay. I was going to say Pay. Quick Trip Pay. And the commercial came on like, I don't know, four times in a row. And at first I was like, you know, are we getting invaded by aliens or something? I'm just joking. Anyway, and so I, you know, every time I see that commercial come on, I'll say, and you know, and like, here's your favorite commercial. That's not my favorite commercial. So he got a little irate about that commercial going over and over. But here we are in James chapter 4, verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that rage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives greater grace, therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There could be some contention, possibly, then people would say that they are not double-minded. James speaks of a man that forgets what he looks at in the mirror when he walks away. But then when you have a relationship with people around you, you may get a sense that there are some double-minded people in this world. People that would maybe say one thing and do another. Or they would profess something and then not live that out. Whatever that may be, there have been occasions where I think all of us could probably go to a point where there ourselves or someone else, where probably there was a double-minded, unstable person. And to take that a bit further, we might would even conclude that people that operate within those frameworks, or however that looks before us, that we may say that that is something that is unattractive. There's nothing that is attractive about it, because we would also equate someone who's double-minded and unstable as somebody that is not very dependable in how we would look at the interaction of having some faith or trust in that person. And a lot of times, there are instances in our lives where that can be very hard to deal with, and especially if it's someone that we love or care for. And maybe even that we could take it a step further, a brother or sister in Christ that we go to church with and we've discipled and been alongside them for years. And, you know, there's been a continual regression and not progression in how we would desire for that person to grow in and to be stable, to be founded, to be completely dependable whenever they open their mouth. And I'm not being hard on people in general. I'm just saying that sometimes that weighs into the process of us being in a continuance of showing mercy and grace. But also at the same token, I think from the human perspective of being limited by our understanding is asking God to keep our motives pure and keep our hearts pure while we deal with these people that are unstable and are double-minded. And then for us to be reminded as well that we're not perfect either. And so that we need God's grace while we handle these delicate souls, if you will. But James is really hitting the nail on the head. And we've discussed this in the past in this passage about it's not so much the people that we're dealing with, it's the fact of what's within us. That we have to be reminded that the work, again, that God has called each and every one of us to, that we should be faithful to that call. And whatever that may be, whatever that God has placed before us at the time, whether that be washing dishes, folding clothes, getting up every day and going to work, being a faithful laborer in the workforce, being polite, being kind, all the many ways in which we would say, to some degree, we probably wear different hats. All of us have different functions in this world that we live. And so therefore, when we would say that however that looks for us individually from a day-to-day basis, those times that come before us where other people may seem as though like an obstacle, it's not really an obstacle. More so, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to learn how is it that God would use me in this situation with this person to glorify Him. James is basically saying the reason why these things don't always work out the way they do is because there's things that are within us that are warring or battling within, like a, you know, boiling pot of water. It's raging within us. And it's just a matter of time before it boils over. So I think that it comes to a point of self-reflection. Instead of identifying our other brothers or sisters' faults, instead of looking at other people's wrongs and what they do that's so bad that basically irritates us. Sound familiar? It is, because I've landed in that place. I have been guilty of looking at other people and looking at their faults instead of looking at what God needs to work in my heart. I've been convicted of that. And I think that's the truth of what James is stating here in James chapter 4 and the beginning there when he says these things that are causing these quarrels and these troubles and these situations that rage, it's from within. Because at the end of the day, we cannot control what the outcome would be of another individual. In those relationships, in those those interactions that we have with people. And a lot of times we've already described the tongue in James. That's the majority of the conflict that we have, is the back and forth of exchange of words, either verbally where we hear it with our ears, or by text message, or now with social media and all the other areas that are basically before us. And James is saying it's not so much in what you're dealing with, it's God working in your heart. And again, looking at it in a way that he would want you to view these people or these situations. The battle's won. When Jesus said it is finished, it's been fulfilled. We've experienced salvation through Christ, so therefore we know that everything is taken care of. The worst thing that could ever happen to us, that a lot of times we fear, is death. The uncertainty of when that could come, but it will come. But Jesus defeated that. So if that's the case, and if we walk with a mentality that Christ defeated probably man's greatest fear, death, and that through him there is life and life everlasting, then we should throw ourselves on the wisdom that's provided through Scripture. See, James is saying the reason why these things wage war within you is because of the lacking of understanding of what God desires for your life. Because if you leaned more upon heavenly wisdom, as Proverbs tells us, that our ways would be made straight. Notice again what he says. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motive, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. And he goes in verse 5 and says that he jealously desires. Excuse me. God desires to have relationship with people. And so therefore, when we look upon it in that way, that he desires to have relationship with us in such a way that he sent his son Jesus to have that relationship with us, and man, we should desire to have a close walk with him through his word. And we should lean upon those truths instead of looking for something that's before us as a problem and not leaning upon the wisdom that's found in God's word. Because when we start to think about the things that are so bad in other people's lives that maybe impact us, and then again, we want to look at what they're doing wrong and maybe what we're doing right, man, that takes us in a whole different path. Ultimately, it comes back to the singular decision of stating, God, keep my heart pure. Lord, keep your ways before me. And God, help me to accomplish the task that you desire to accomplish through my life. And I think that when we land in that place, when we come to this plateau of depth, of rest and understanding, we can look at it is finished, and we can look at what he has already accomplished through his son Christ, so that we have a relationship with him, and take a deep breath and understand that we don't have to give in to these passions that rage within us. Instead, we give in to the Savior that provides that peace and understanding that we so desperately need. So I would say, in those moments of frustration and confusion, in the moments of not really wanting to focus on the details of God's Word, to give in to that mentality of understanding that it's by him and through him and for him. Purify our hearts and cleanse our minds, as James says. And let it start with me, O Lord. Let the purification begin with me. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.